kind of thirsty this morning, and I got a frog in my throat. You ever have a frog in your throat? You want to look and see if it's in there? Oh. Well, I did bring some water. I also have my coffee. So when you're really thirsty, there's lots of things you can drink, right? So I like coffee. Really, here we'll go with a really good advertisement. Who has a coffee shop, do you know? Well, okay. I like frappes. They're really good. They're like shakes. You guys like fraps, right? What's your favorite? Ayla, what's your favorite? Is it strawberry? Yeah. They're pretty good. I like iced tea. But most of all, if I'm really, really thirsty, you know what I want? Good old water. Okay, so I have some things that I store all this water in. Okay, so there's this one. This is the one that we take when we go hiking in the mountains. It's got a really cool little hook, hooks on our backpack. It's got a little button here that, you know, pops it up, and it stays sealed up. That's a good one. This one says American Red Cross. I don't like the kind that I can't put a straw in or that doesn't have some kind of, you know, nice little top. But this one's cool. Look at that. That one you just fill up with water and you can hook it on your belt. Okay. And here's one. Where do you think this came from? Where did Papa just go? It says Marines.com. So he got that one in San Diego. It's got a good pop top. Let's see, this one was from the clerk of the circuit court of DuPage County when I was on county officials board. This one's Papa's, I think, from the John Deere Classic. Dale and Linda probably have 800 of them. And then I have another one, says Element Coffee House and Gifts. So they're all really, you know, unique containers. So what do they all have in common? What can I put in every one of them? Water. That's right. So they all hold water and they help me out if I'm really thirsty, as long as it's full of good, clean water. So all these, you know, they're all look differently, but they're all the same in one way, in that they hold water, right? So they're kind of like we are. On the outside, we all look different, but on the inside, we want to all look really good, right? We want it to be good stuff on the inside, don't we? We don't want it to be ugly stuff on the inside. We want it good, healthy stuff. So today, we're going to talk about in church about the scripture about the woman at the well. You know what a well is? It's a big old hole in the ground where they dig down real far till they reach water, and then you dip your water out of it. When you live in the country, you have a well. When you live in town, there's a well, but we get it out of the faucet instead. It's a lot easier. So anyway, Jesus went to this well to get a drink. And there was a woman there, and she was a Samaritan woman, because they were in Samaria. So a Samaritan is a woman from Samaria, just like an American is a person from America. There you go. Okay. So, but it was kind of different that Jesus was standing there talking to this woman at this well. Part of it was because she was a woman, and in those days, women weren't really equal to men. So they kind of, for a man to talk to a woman like that was kind of different. And then another reason was because normally Jews, which is what Jesus was, didn't talk to people from Samaria, because it was kind of like the bad part of town, and they just didn't associate too much. So not only, you know, did this woman, was she from another country, but she was a woman. But she'd done some things in her life that weren't so great. She might maybe felt kind of ashamed about it, and she was probably suspicious about why was Jesus coming up and talking to her and asking her for some water. Well, Jesus knew what she needed. He knew what was in her heart and that he could heal it, and he could change her life. And he knew that it didn't matter what was on the outside. It didn't matter that she was from Samaria, just like it doesn't matter, you know, if you have blonde hair, brown hair, or white skin, or brown skin, or anything. It doesn't matter. So he knew that it was, the outside didn't matter, but it was what was inside. And he knew he could fill her up inside. He could fill her with what he called living water. Now, she thought this was really cool, because then she wouldn't have to, if she could just, you know, get this living water without having to tote a big jar to the well every day. She thought, that's pretty cool. And he's like, that's not what I'm talking about. She was kind of confused, and Jesus told her that he was the answer to what she needed. And so he shared some things about her that he already knew about her. Just like Jesus knows everything that's in your heart, even though you may never have shared it with him. But that's, he knows us inside. And he knows that each of us has a hole in there that we need to have filled with him. So when she finally figured out, this is the Messiah, this is the Savior, this is the Jesus who came for all of us, she ran and told everybody. And that's what's so cool about being someone who loves Jesus. So one thing, several things we can think about here. So we've all done things we shouldn't have done, right? But Jesus came and died for all those sins. He took them all on, even the ones that we don't talk about, right? And he knows, we know how much he loves us. So that's something we know. We've all done things wrong. We know how much he loves us. We know that he died on the cross for us. But he also wants everybody else to know what Jesus has done for us. He wants us to tell others what he's done for us. And he wants to share, us to share that good news with other people we know. We need to be different. Just like right now with everybody kind of being afraid about the sickness. Because we love Jesus, we should be different when we're out there talking to people. We shouldn't be afraid. And I mean, we can be a little afraid, but we don't need to walk around in fear all the time. But because Jesus fills our insides, right? He fills us up with all the good stuff inside. And that's that good news that he died for our sins. And so we need to go tell others about that, don't we? Yep. And we need to not be afraid because Jesus will give us all the words we need to say. So Jesus satisfies our needs. Like if we're thirsty, we're really thirsty for him. And we need to drink water every day to keep our bodies healthy, but we also need to drink in what Jesus gives us every day to keep our insides healthy. We need to read our Bible. We need to talk about the good things that Jesus has done for us, and we need to pray, right? And that'll keep our good, our insides really good and healthy. So it doesn't matter what the outside looks like. It's just the inside, okay? So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you today for the fact that you're always with us. You know our hearts. You know what we need. You know we have that God-sized hole inside of us that needs to be filled only by you. Help us to remember to do the things we should, to not worry about the outside, but just keep that inside of us healthy by reading our Bibles and talking about you and praying. We pray all this, Jesus, in your holy name. And all God's children said, amen.
Gospel reading is John 4, 5 through 42. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. The Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" See, Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him, and he would be giving you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink it in spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty and will never need to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, Go get your husband and come back here. The woman replied, I do not have a husband. Are you right to say, I don't have a husband? Jesus answered, man you are with now isn't your husband. You've spoken the truth. The woman said, Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you and your people say that it is necessary to worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you and your people will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You and your people worship what you don't know. We worship what we know because salvation is from the Jews. But the time is coming and is here when true worshipers will worship in the Spirit and truth. The Father looks to those who worship Him in this way. God is the Spirit, and it is necessary to worship God in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will teach us, he will teach everything to us. Jesus said to her, I am the one who speaks with you. Just then, Jesus' disciples arrived and were shocked that he was talking with a woman. But no one asked, What do you want? Or why are you talking with her? The woman put down her water jug and went into the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who has told me everything I've done. Could this man be Christ? They left the city and were on their way to see Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples spoke to Jesus, saying, Rabbi, eat. Jesus said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know about. Then the disciples asked each other, Has someone brought him food? Jesus said to them, I am being fed by doing the will of the one who sent me and by completing his work. Don't you have a saying, 4 more months and then it's time for the harvest? Look, I tell you, open your eyes and notice that the fields are already ripe for harvest. Those who harvest are receiving their pay and gathering fruit from eternal life, so that those who sow and those who harvest could celebrate together. This is a true saying, that one sows and another harvests. I have sent you to harvest what you didn't work hard for. Others worked hard, and you will share in their hard work. Many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's word when she testified. He told me everything I've ever done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word, and they said to the woman, We no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world. Here ends our reading.
Lord, may the words I speak be those you want spoken. May the words we hear be those you want heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our gospel lesson today, there are a lot of surprises. For the conversation to happen at all is the first surprise. After all, Jesus is a Jew and the woman is a Samaritan. And between Samaritan and Jews, there is a wall of separation. I like how Lindy put it. The Samaritans are like the bad part of town. The Jews and Samaritans are related people. Both are Hebrews. The Samaritans are from the old northern kingdom of Israel, while the Jews are from the old southern kingdom of Judah. The Samaritans intermarried with non-Jewish people and lost most of their ethnic identity, while the Jews maintained theirs. Each group ended up with their own temple. The Samaritans on Mount Gerizim, the Jews on Mount Zion. And so it is a strange choice for Jesus to make the travel through Samaritan territory. Then he strikes up a conversation with a Samaritan that is a stranger. There's something additional that makes this conversation, besides the well, a surprise. In that place and time, men and women are not to talk to each other in public. It is considered not proper. Especially in this because the man, like Jesus, a rabbi, a teacher, someone who's looked up to as an example of priority. And thus, his disciples, when they return, are astonished that Jesus is speaking with the woman. Still, most more must be said about this surprising encounter. The nameless one is a Samaritan and a woman. She is also someone that has been rejected by her own people. She comes to the well to draw water at noon, and she comes alone. Noon is the hottest time of the day. Morning and evening are times to do the hard work of drawing water from the well and hauling it home. This is the work that women do in the company of one another. It is a chance for a chat, for social contact. But this woman goes to the well at a time when she will be alone. She sees herself as a misfit. She avoids others in order to not be hurt again by their words, their attitudes, and their hard looks. It is a surprise that this conversation happened at all. But the conversation itself contains more than one surprise. It's a surprise that Jesus promises living water. Living water is water that flows, that runs, that sparkles. Such water is a welcome change from water in the wells or cisterns that may be flat and even stagnant. Jesus and the woman meet beside an ancient well that's more than 100 feet deep and 7 feet wide. At first, the woman presumes that Jesus is talking about some hidden stream he knows that is far better than this well. She wants the equivalent of a faucet in her kitchen so that she won't have to haul buckets anymore. And who can blame her? But what Jesus promises is a source of life in her heart so that she can truly live. She is confused about what he offers, yet she understands it is something she needs and needs desperately. It's a surprise that Jesus knows the details of the stranger's life. Those details remain unclear to us. But it's apparent that she has had a painful and unhappy time. She's had 5 husbands. But did the marriages end through divorce or death or desertion? Were they truly marriages or something else? Why is her current husband not truly her husband? We don't know the answers to those questions, and perhaps we don't need to know. Yet we recognize this woman feels alone and exiles herself from her neighbors. The woman is surprised that Jesus knows the truth about her. She is even more surprised that knowing the truth, he accepts her. For her, this is an encounter with the holy. The man must be a prophet. And so comes another surprise. The woman asked Jesus to resolve the long-standing and decisive question of who is right, Jews or Samaritans. Which is the correct temple, Gerizim or Jerusalem? The surprise comes when Jesus raises the issue to a new level. True worship will no longer be dependent on a location, but it will be a matter of spirit and truth. The conversation ends with one more surprise. The woman confesses her faith in the Messiah who is to come, and Jesus said that he is the Messiah. So Jesus reveals his identity not to his disciples, not to his own people, not to their religious leaders, but to this person who is marginal 3 times over. She's a Samaritan. She's a woman and an exile among her own kind. We do not even know her name, yet Jesus entrusts her with his deepest secret, the truth of who he is. The conversation ends because the disciples come back from their trip to buy food. But the surprises do not end. The woman leaves her water jar there at the well. It is valuable, yet it's heavy, and she wants to be unencumbered as she runs back to the city. There in Sychar, she tells the people to come and see Jesus. She testifies, "He told me everything I did." Soon, a crowd follows her out to the well. So large is this crowd that Jesus compares it to the fields ready to be harvested. These people have accepted the woman's testimony, and they're coming to see Jesus. It's a surprise that someone like this bears witness. After all, she is a reject among her own people, a woman with no name, no social standing. Her experience with Jesus is very brief, and she has no training, and she has not been given a commission. It's a surprise that people listen to her. Yet they do, for there is something attractive, compelling, authentic about her witness. Then we have another surprise in the surprising story. This unlikely prophet becomes a witness to Jesus and an effective one. True, she may be a woman of questionable character, or at least she's had plenty of experiences with the rough edges of life. True, her understanding of Jesus is far from incomplete. Yet she bears witness based on her personal experience. She speaks of what she knows. Her focus is on Jesus, not on herself. And not only does she point out her own people to Jesus, but she shows us how we can witness to him. If Jesus has spoken to us, accept us, led us to see ourselves differently, then we can bear witness to others even as she did. We don't need to have our life together in every way. We don't need to know all there is to know. What we can do is to tell others our experiences and leave the results to God. Whether becoming the center of attention is what we want or what we fear, that is not the issue, and that's not the purpose. We can help people to look, not at us, but over our shoulder at Jesus, who stands close behind us. Then soon, they will forget all about our witness and say all along with those people from Sychar, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." God surprises us in many ways, but none is more surprising than our opportunity to witness to Christ based on our own experience. These are the things God wants us to do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to witness to others. Help us lead those who do not know you or who have turned away from you to come back to you, to get to know you. Help us be those people that are able to be disciples for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.